Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Enjoying this episode of the Late Show Poncho? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Hello, everybody. Hello out there. Welcome to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. And ladies and gentlemen, I come to you on an historic day. Have yourselves bronzed and engraved. Because today, the Senate took up 2 articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary and man paralyzed by all the toppings at Sweetgreen. Alejandro Mayorkas, House Republicans have never identified a specific high crime or misdemeanor for the impeachment, which is usually kind of a thing. But still, historic. It's only the second time in America that a cabinet member has been impeached. The first was Secretary of War William Belknap back in 1876, which Congress accused of prostituting his high office to his lust for private gain. Did you ever know that you're my hero? Earlier this week, House managers had the task of walking the articles of impeachment from the House over to the Senate because the Founding Fathers believed that such official acts should always be done in person while getting your steps in. Now, by the Constitution, the Senate now has to set aside all legislative business, lay out the rules, and hold a trial. This is going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight, and I am here for it tonight. We'll be dedicating our entire show to the, I'm sorry, what's happening?
The Senate has just voted to end the impeachment trial of Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
That was quick. What do you guys want to talk about? I thought we were going to do the whole show. Well, I'll tell you what. This is just more bad news for Republican Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, seen here in his profile pic on hammeryourownpenis.com. Mike Johnson needed this win because momentum is building to oust Johnson from his House speakership. And they just got rid of the last guy 6 months ago. Republican Speaker of the House has joined the list of least secure jobs, just below number 2 leader of ISIS, world's oldest man, and Rupert Murdoch fiancé. I love her. She's a nurse or something. I didn't ask. Next. But Johnson's not going down without a fight, folks. He went on Fox Business over the weekend to remind Republicans that he has the backing of the party's dear leader.
I spent hours with the president on Friday. He's 100% with me.
Well, that settles it. Trump is 100% with him. Isn't that right, sir?
Are you going to protect Speaker Johnson?
Well, we'll see what happens with that.
That is a dose of classic Trump loyalty. He's got your back so he can push you under a bus. Just like his wedding vows. I take thee, Melania, to be my lawful wedded next wife. For better or, well, we'll see what happens after that. Today is a day off in Donald Trump's hush money trial, which is good. I'm sure he needs time to rest after all that napping. Yesterday was a surprisingly productive court session because they picked 7 jurors. I was not one of them. And while their identities will be kept secret, we've learned a little bit about who it is, like juror number 4, who said of the ex-president, I find him fascinating and mysterious. Like, when he says he wants to shoot protesters and jail his opponents, what does he mean? I can fix him. There's also juror number 2, who seemed surprised to find herself in the situation, telling the court, "I didn't even know I was walking into this." Okay, but at some point, there must have been some context clues. Honey, for some reason, this soul cycle has a bailiff. Of course, most of the potential jurors were dismissed, including one who posted a video of social media of an AI version of Trump saying, "I'm dumb as damn. I didn't know AI was coming for my job." Yesterday, as soon as he was released from the proceedings, Trump went right from court to campaign at a bodega. Now, for my viewers who do not live in New York, bodega is Spanish for convenience store where you can get coffee, cigarettes, spicy chips they only sell in Uruguay, dusty cans of Chef Boyardee, ginseng vitality juice that makes your hair feel like it's screaming, and for some reason, one electric lawnmower up on a high shelf.
Wow.
All run by a guy who exclusively calls you Big Boss. Now, specifically, Trump chose to stop by Sanaa Convenience Store because it had been the site of a violent attack that resulted in public criticism for the district attorney now prosecuting him. Or he was just there buying scratchers. Come on, come on. Daddy owes $454 million to the state of New York. Here we go. Balloon. Balloon. Oh, horseshoe. I was robbed. Stop the scratch. Here's what Trump said when he got to the store.
This is a very exciting time for me because the bodegas, the association invited me.
Yes, it's true. Here in New York City, there is a bodega association. They share an office with the International Brotherhood of Guys Selling Bootleg DVDs on a Blanket in Chinatown. This morning, I got Starship Troopers there. First half still plays. This morning, with his short break from court, Trump used Truth Social to stay laser-focused on the issues that voters care most about. Stupid Jimmy Kimmel, who still hasn't recovered from his horrendous performance and big ratings drop as host as the Academy Awards, especially when he showed he suffered from TDS, commonly known as Trump Derangement Syndrome, to the entire world by reading on air my truth about how bad a job he was doing that night. That's right. In the middle of a presidential campaign and countless federal indictments, he's obsessed with the Academy Awards from 5 weeks ago. I look forward to his new campaign slogan, Trump 2024. They gave it to Green Book? Also, you keep my friend Jimmy Kimmel's name out of your weird little wet mouth, okay? Jimmy Kimmel. I'm mad. Jimmy Kimmel is my podcast brother from Strike Force 5. And I have vowed to defend him until my death or until the next ad for Mint Mobile. And for the record, sir, Jimmy did an incredible job as host. Oscar viewership was up 4%. That's right. This year, 4 more people watched. As long as we're talking awards, I am proud to present one right now. In the category of outstanding achievement in syphilitic ramble in a social media post, the winner is... Well... Now, sure, you want to see? You want us to close up? Think that'll work? While Trump is facing jurors, Biden is getting praise from the fashion police. You see, the New York Times recently published an article titled The Biden Guide to Dressing Younger. Biden's youthful style relies on solid color ties with four-in hand or half Windsor knots and shirts with a heightened collar to minimize waddles and to create a tidy frame for his face. And that's not all. When Biden really wants to shave a few years off, he employs the sartorial tactic known as Big Wowie Pop. We gotta support Ukraine. Of course, Biden isn't the first older politician who's tried to dress younger. We all remember Senator Chuck Grassley's ill-fated FUBU phase. The design experts say all these tactics show that Biden recognizes the difference between getting old and looking old. Sure, it's all optics. Like, if you want to look tall, you stand next to someone shorter. That's why Biden has hired a new campaign manager, Roger T. Cryptkeeper. Now, so that was a fashion article complimentary to Biden, but no slow Newsday puff piece goes brutally unpunished. Because last night we heard from Trump advisor and evil banker in a kid's movie who just foreclosed on the skate park, Stephen Miller. Miller went on Hannity and yelled this.
The most stylish president and first lady in our lifetimes are Donald Trump and Melania Trump. Donald Trump's a style icon. He changed American fashion.
It's true, Trump is a style icon whose barrier-breaking fashion choices include tie stolen from party clown. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, John Lithgow.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Thanks, everybody. Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, my friends, Romans, countrymen, my first guest tonight is the iconic Emmy and Tony Award-winning actor you know from Killers of the Flower Moon, The Crown, Terms of Endearment, and many, many more. Now he has made a PBS special called Art Happens Here.
For everybody here, it's confidence, that you have the confidence, because the confidence controls how you perform.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And just, what the heck, it's my voice. So I sing in my voice.
Right.
And I don't think anybody will be throwing things at me.
No, they better not.
I was a shy kid all over again. When you go into a situation like that, you're vulnerable and nervous no matter how old you are. But in Ms. B's class, everyone was brimming with confidence, and it was infectious.
Please welcome back to The Late Show, John Lithgow. Nice to see you.
Great to be back. Thank you for the welcome.
Always a pleasure. There are friends of the show, and then there is John Lithgow. There are very few people we've had more fun with than you.
Well, likewise.
So many iconic, like, titles in your CV. Terms of Endearment, The World According to Garp, Footloose, Dexter, The Crown, Third Rock.
Nice to see you.
Are you surprised when something you're working on becomes a hit? Like, have you ever been shocked by how big something comes? You didn't see it.
Well, Terms of Endearment, I think, was a surprise. I had no idea it was such a great fit. Footloose.
40th anniversary this year.
I know. It's been a huge thing ever since I was in it. But I always sort of dismissed it kind of as my teeny bopper film. I took it very seriously, but I knew it was for kids. But I have to tell you, years later, I was on Third Rock. We had an episode where... Yeah. That's all right. You may remember this. The aliens were stuck in a circus sideshow for some crazy reason. So that was the setting, a circus. And we had a big, strong, tall young man who was playing the strong man at the circus. Just a day player, really. We were rehearsing, and he took me aside when he had the chance. He said, I've been wanting to tell you this, Mr. Lithgow. I'm from a little town in Alabama,
My daddy was the Baptist minister in that town. We couldn't dance. We couldn't hear rock and roll. I went to see Footloose when it came to town, and you were my daddy. And I took my daddy to that movie the next night without telling him anything about it. By this time, tears were rolling down his cheeks. He said, I just wanted you to know that because of your performance, I was the first of six children to be allowed to go to his prom. And I thought, oh my God, this just shows
me. Well, here we have, here on in the 40th anniversary year, here we have the Reverend Shaw Moore in Footloose right there. God. And what I forgot was, it's right there next to you, Jim, if you go right there, is right there, the great Diane Wiest.
That's right.
I forgot Diane Wiest.
Oh, yeah, Diane.
Incredible.
Yeah, you know, we were both in our mid-30s at the time, but because all the other kids were like 20 and younger, Sarah Jessica Parker and Laurie Singer, all these kids, mm-hmm. we were the oldsters. And there we were in a tidy little Provo, Utah, and we kind of were restless being considered the old farts. And we sort of reacted to that. It was in my pathetic little motel room. I threw all the parties. And all the kids would come in. We would dance. You know, we did Soul Train. And they were amazed at us, most particularly when one night we tore off all our clothes and jumped into the motel swimming pool. They were absolutely appalled. And the next morning, our producer, Danny Melnick, he put up a memo, no more of that. We don't want to get kicked out of Provo.
No.
Turns out we were 10 times cooler than the kids.
Oh, wow. And to this very day.
Yeah.
And to this very day. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more John Lithgow, everybody. Don't go away.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans, to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods, too, by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time, Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, we're back here with the host of Art Happens Here, Mr. John Lithgow, everybody. I love this idea of this special. You have gone back to high school for this PBS special. What was it like? Because I did not have the greatest high school experience, mm-hmm. and I would be very nervous to go back. What was it like to go back to high school? I think I'd have, like, you know, flashbacks. What was it like for you to go back?
Well, it was nervous-making. Just so you know, this was my little gesture toward promoting the importance of arts in education. I pitched the idea of me going back to school. I had a wonderful time in high school, particularly in 9th and 10th grade of high school in art class. I wanted to be an artist back then. I wanted to capture that electric moment when a great art teacher and eager students connect. And how else do you do that but actually go there? So I made myself the story.
Were they at all, like, intimidated to be there with the great John Lithgow?
No, they'd never really heard of me. They were...
Third Rock? No.
Not until they heard the word Shrek. Then they went completely crazy. You are Lord Farquaad? And I said, well, I'm not the villain here, you are. And they went crazy.
That's fantastic. Well, I'm surprised they didn't recognize you. I mean, you know, because you've been in so many things. I'm just curious, do you ever get misrecognized? Because sometimes people still go like, hey, Steve Carell, they'll say to me.
As a matter of fact, just a couple of weeks ago, I had a speaking gig. I was crossing the country and changing planes in Denver, eating something before my next flight. And the hostess of this diner came up to me and said, I'm sorry to interrupt, but does anybody ever tell you that you remind them of Charles Grodin? And I said, no, they usually say that I remind them of John Lithgow. And she said, I don't know who that is.
Do Farquaad.
That she reached in and got her cell phone and brought up photographs of Charles Grodin and angrily pushed it into my face, like, I'm not crazy. Like, I was so confused.
There are worse people to be confused with.
That's right. I am a great admirer of the late Charles Grodin.
Yeah.
But me?
I had someone in the grocery store line say to me, anybody ever tell you you look like Stephen Colbert? And I said, yep, it happens fairly frequently. And then the woman standing in front of her turns around and looks at me and goes, nah, I've met him. That's not him.
That's a good one.
And I said, oh, really? I said, I don't look anything like him. She goes, a little bit, but he's a lot taller than you are. It's you know, arts education is greatly undervalued in the United States. There are pockets where it's really valued, but it's undervalued. But what do you think that value is for people, whether or not they go into the arts? Now that we can have ChatGPT do all of our painting and write our poetry.
Listen, until kids are 20 years old, they're still figuring out who they are, and there is no better guide to who you are than being creative, being given the chance to be creative. That's where you find out who you are. You know, in those days, when I was a kid, there was a full-time art and a full-time music teacher in just about every school, in the public school in the country. That era is long, long gone. And I think it's got to come back, particularly, you know. We're living at a moment where the pandemic has robbed millions of kids of 2 years of in-class education and social development. And there's an epidemic of absenteeism in school right now. And it's a true slow-moving catastrophe. There's nothing better to get them wanting to come back to school every day than the process of learning who you are through creative art. I'm absolutely convinced of that. And anyway, that's my program.
Well, we all want to see Art Happens Here, but you have another show coming up. You've got a new season of The Old Man with Jeff Bridges coming up soon.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
And I'm really. Is he as fun to be with as he seems?
He's the most wonderful friend and actor to work with. You know, that photograph was of a scene that took 6 days to shoot.
That you got in this car?
Yeah. It was near the end of the first season. I hadn't worked with him yet. I barely knew him. We were 6 days in an automobile shooting that scene. It was like crossing the country with a new roommate in your college days. Mm-hmm. We just talked and talked and told stories, talked about our parents, our kids, our families. We told jokes. We got to know each other so well. He became like my best friend. He certainly told me one of my best jokes. Do you want to hear a Jeff Bridges joke?
Always.
I hesitate to steal anyone's joke, but imagine Jeff Bridges telling this joke about an old man in a hospital bed having recovered from some procedure. In walks a nurse, and the old man says to her, "Nurse, are my testicles black?" And the nurse is startled. She says, your testicles? Yes. Are they black? And she says, she's nonplussed, but she puts on her rubber gloves. And she moves the blanket back and lifts the gown up. And
lifts up his penis and fondles one side of his scrotum and the other, then folds him back up and says, no, everything seems to be fine. And the man says, but nurse, are my test results back?
Just imagine Jeff. Imagine Jeff telling that joke.
Thank you, John.
It's like, I leave you with that.
His PBS special, Art Happens Here, premieres next Friday. John Lithgow, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me? You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wild Card, wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.